devil went down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you played pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And our special guest tonight, Richard Dolan, and of course your phone calls. And if you happen to be a government whistleblower and you know something about UFOs, check in with us as well. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, Richard Dolan, our guest. Your phone calls, we're going to take all those calls. Richard's website is Keyhole, H-O-L-E, publishing.com. Are you glad you went into the direction now that you've gone, that you're not doing history and everything else that you were doing before?
I feel like I've been liberated and am living outside the Matrix now.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Is that exciting for you?
I've loved it. I don't go into UFO research for money, which that's really good because I haven't gotten any. But I'm
you're not going to get rich.
No.
But in this field, believe me,
it's been immensely rewarding. It was a difficult decision 10 years ago or so when I decided to leave the academic world. I was very good at what I did, and there could have been a future as a professor, a tenure track, whatever. And of course, I would never have been able to do this kind of research. It's very unlikely. So you know, going into the UFO field has just taken me into all of the other forbidden topics. And as nutty as our world happens to be, I like being right on the outside, believe me. I think it's the most sane place to be. And if I can follow up on our point just before the break, George, mm-hmm. I really want to mention this regarding disclosure. And, you know, I think that it is fundamentally incompatible. Full UFO disclosure is incompatible with our current system of government and society. I really believe this. I've been kind of talking around this all the show, but I don't think that you can have both, disclosure or the system. I mean, one has got to go. And for the last 50, 60 years, we have had the system has been in place. And I do believe that full disclosure, and the only way to do it is, as you said, the full boat, would end up transforming our system so fundamentally. We'd have something completely different. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. The change is frightening to us, but
I think we'd become global.
You can't do it forever.
If they come clean, I think the, strangely enough, the globalists who would like a one-world government, I think it'll happen fast that way. If they disclose at the right time, and maybe that's what they're waiting for, Richard. Maybe there's a bigger plan here. Maybe we haven't seen it.
Well, we have to be careful because if they're doing the disclosing, we have to say, you know, what are your motivations? What you can't just take the
and why now? Why are you telling us now? You
know? Right, exactly. So we can't just take those at face value. But the thing is, it won't happen. We won't take it at face value. I mean, one person suggested to me in an email, this is after my last article came out, he said, "Look, it could just happen that the military could do like a new official scientific study, like the old Condon Committee. And let's say that this study now determines that ET is probably here. Wouldn't that work? And I said, no, it's not going to work, because no one would believe that the government has no other information on this.
Exactly.
So that once you open this lid, it's going to come out and it will be transformative. Will that result in tighter authoritarian kind of centralized control? I don't know, but we're moving in that direction already. And again, I believe that truth must be a good thing. Truth cannot be a bad thing. If there's any faith that I have, it is in this thing called truth. I will maintain this to my dying day, George. We've got to believe in truth.
Let's go
to the
phones.
If you don't believe in truth, you believe in nothing.
Pick it up by going east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, where it is 4:14 in the morning, wherever you are.
My name's Jason. I'm in Denton, Maryland.
Okay, Jason, go ahead.
Well, you guys, I was trying to call you the other night. You had a guest on there speaking on this topic who was a specialist in disinformation. And that'll lead into my question.
Sure.
Tonight's guest put forth the possibility that we are the experiment rather than the experimentor. And I wonder if you have considered what I've long held to be true, that Art Bell, actually, I think, is on the right track with his fascination with holes in the ground. Everyone keeps calling these visitors extraterrestrial, and I wonder if you've considered the possibility that they're not extraterrestrial, but extra-dimensional, and in fact demons, and they're not visiting us at all, but they live right here.
That is an excellent question, Jason. I have thought about this a lot, and in fact, I usually try to avoid using the phrase ET or extraterrestrial. I mean, I've been using it a bit tonight. But what I try to say specifically is that whatever they are, they're not us. And there have been, over, you know, the decades, every now and then you get some pretty good speculation that these are homegrown entities. So I do absolutely keep this as a real possibility. I mean, for example, there are many ocean-based, let's call them UFO sightings, for lack of a better word. There are many sightings in the oceans of highly anomalous things going on. And so is it entirely possible that there is a highly advanced group that's in the oceans? Could they have created a base inside an underwater ocean mountain? Absolutely. And so could they have evolved here with us? Could they be interdimensional? I would never say no. So
that's amazing.
I think we have to be careful and cautious in respect to the facts that we have, but also we have to be able to, you know, be flexible intellectually to really consider these possibilities.
It's amazing that you say that you speak of the ocean, because all throughout the Bible, and especially in Job 41, the Lord speaks of Satan as the dragon in the sea, and we have in Genesis chapter 6 the Lord telling us that we were visited by fallen angels, and that they cohabitated with our females and created a race of giants. And that you've spoken about this on your show about the Nephilim.
Sure.
And the Lord Jesus said that, and that was specifically dated Genesis chapter 6. That was the time of the flood that was just preceding Noah, and the reason for the flood. And the Lord Jesus said that in the latter days, which I believe we're in with the return of Israel to her homeland in 1948, the Lord Jesus said that the coming of the Son of Man, the latter days, would be just as the days of Noah. And he specifically said that people would be marrying and giving in marriage. And that seems rather strange, as that's always been the case. And the only reference to Noah's day for marriage is the cohabitation with fallen angels.
Well, you're coming at this from a very definitively biblical perspective, and I would also point out that there are cultures around the world traditional cultures that have also spoken of ocean-based godlike figures. The Central American, the Mayan tradition, I think, or the Aztecs, have the tradition of Viracocha, and who came from the water. And prior, of course, as I'm sure you are aware, prior even to the composition of the Bible, the Sumerians had the flood story as well. This is actually much older even than the biblical version of it. So I think that you are, you know, you're speaking to something that is that ancient people have been kind of groping around with and explaining in from their particular perspectives. And so, yes, I mean, to answer your question originally, you know, I think that an extraterrestrial answer is entirely a reasonable way to go on this, but the world is a much more complex place than we normally think in our common sense. So could they be from other places and inhabiting other dimensions? Yes, I think that's true. I mean, there are probably other dimensions of reality. We do have, I certainly believe, non-physical dimensions to ourselves, and so I think that that's also true of these beings.
You talk about underwater UFO bases. Richard brings up that favorite movie of mine, The Abyss.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it sure is.
I love that.
And it
yeah.
makes you wonder if that's indeed going on down there in the ocean.
It's the one movie that deals with underwater phenomena that I'm aware of anyway. The best author on ocean-based sightings, incidentally, is a very little-known author, a man named Ivan T. Sanderson, who's been dead long, long time.
Right.
Now. But in the late 60s, early 70s, he was also a cryptozoologist. So he wrote about Bigfoot, and he wrote about a lot of other kind of unexplainable things. And he wrote two really great UFO books. The one called Invisible Residence deals with ocean-based sightings, and it's just marvelously done.
Next up, International Line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Where are you?
I'm from Vieques, Puerto Rico.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I just, my name is Junior, by the way. I just had one question for Richard. You guys just finished talking about exactly what I was going to ask about, which is alien life in the waters. In our island, we have a bioluminescent bay, which we have, some people in the island have reported seeing vehicular type, you know, aircraft coming out of those waters. I mean, do you have any knowledge of this?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up. I have a number of Puerto Rican friends here in Rochester, New York, as a matter of fact, and had the opportunity to talk with them about this also, if you can believe it. But there has been some very good work done on this. In fact, I recall one of the books by Timothy Good, a very excellent UFO researcher, who wrote a lot at length about off the coast of Puerto Rico, you know, a large number of people who have seen what you're describing here, anomalous craft, basically, off the coast of Puerto Rico that have been seen in the water, going into water, coming out of water. The speculation, of course, is that there is an underwater base, presumably non-human, but some have speculated that it might even be a super advanced human-type base. But there's something there, or at least there's good reason to think that there's something there. Puerto Rico is the scene of a lot of very, very bizarre activity in this field.
Mm-hmm.
Julian, have you ever seen anything out your way?
Yes, I actually have.
What did you see?
I don't know if you have been to the island Vieques.
No, I have not.
No.
No. Okay. It's on the southwest. It's an island southwest of Puerto Rico. It belongs to Puerto Rico. There is a bioluminescent bay there. I think it's one of the only three in the planet. And we have...
It's a what? I'm sorry, could you explain that again? It's a what bay?
Bioluminescent.
Bioluminescent?
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me?
That's the name of the bay, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
What it is that this these waters, they make their own light.
All right, that's what you mean.
There's organisms there that creates light on its own. And... I have had friends, and I have seen myself these things coming out of the water. I mean,
what do they look like to you?
I can't tell because it's at night, but you can see by the reflection of the organisms. I mean, there's no way that you can make a splash so big out of the water, coming out of the water.
And did they come out of the water and just go straight up, or did they go back in?
They go straight up. I've never seen any go in. Uh-huh. I mean, and that was the only time I've ever seen it.
Wow. Well, that would rule out dolphins.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've never seen a dolphin fly that high.
That's fascinating.
No. Hey, thanks for the story, Julian.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate that. Puerto Rico's always been a beehive of UFO activity.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Julian described, in fact, I mentioned Ivan Sanderson's book. He started his book off with a sighting by, I believe it was a Chilean captain of a, you know, out in South Atlantic who said he just saw this object in his crew. They were out on the deck, come out. It was an icy area. It was very, very far south in the Atlantic, and this thing just came out of the water, he said. Ice was shattering all over the place. It stopped for a minute. They were all dumbfounded, and the thing just went zoom, zipped off. Just, you know, you get these stories every now and then. They're incredible.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast, you're on with us. Hi there.
Hello. Good evening, George and Richard.
Hi.
Hi. Scott, Anaheim, California.
Sure.
A comment, a quick comment and a question. Comment, the massive, I believe there would be a massive hysteria if we're told the truth. And I cite the two cases of, I don't know if you remember the story about Paul, who spent 3 months in a mental institution because the OSI convinced him.
Paul Benowitz.
He was going to visit it.
Yes.
Yeah. The OSI agent was also named Richard Dobbin.
Doty. Richard Doty. He was on now, Sunday with Art.
Indeed. I'll listen to you guys religiously.
Okay.
But nevertheless, and Richard Doty convinced, for counterintelligence, is disinformation. He convinced Paul that we're going to visit it, and he went crazy. And Paul himself was an intelligent individual. So then he spent 3 months in the mental institution, and then, Richard, as per your statement, you said that Richard Gleason was interested in this, and he had the philosophy, the intellect. But again, he couldn't handle it for 3 days. Now, that's the comment, and I believe that the UFO information should not be given out to the general public. Okay, because that's, the, you know, I believe it will cause mass hysteria. The question is, Richard Nixon took Gleason into and saw these aliens. Then in the same token, you're saying that Clinton and current presidents don't have that ability. When did that stop?
Well, we, you know, look, first of all, we are all speculating here, and we're going on information that, you know, we feel is reliable, and that's as far as we can go with that. But, you know, I mentioned the statement of Ben Rich earlier, who was the, who ran Lockheed Skunk Works, and Rich said from what he knew that the direct control of this was taken out of the presidency around 1969. That is what he said. Regarding the whole thing about hysteria and the Paul Benowitz case, I would want to point out that Benowitz was institutionalized for 3 months, that's right, but it wasn't solely because he believed E.T. was here. Benowitz believed that long before. Benowitz had been the victim of serious head games by the Air Force Office of Special Investigation for many years before he was committed. I mean, he was at a point where they were convincing him that, you know, they were getting in his head and that they were controlling his thoughts, or that they were controlling the thoughts of other people through implants, and it was freaking him out. But he was. It took many, many years. This is not something that just happened overnight with Paul Benowitz. I mean, he started his encounters with these guys in around 1978, and it wasn't until 1980, I think, seven. Frankly, that he ended up, you know, spending, and it was at the demand of his family. They put him in for a few months.
Didn't
I think that's overstated.
Didn't Wernher von Braun once tell his aide that he believed that eventually there'd be a phony alien invasion that would be done by the world in order to create this chaos on the planet?
This is the statement, I think you're referring to Carol Rosen, who has said this many times. She said she knew von Braun toward the later part of his life, and that you know, he told her, this is only on Carol Rosen's testimony. I've met Carol, and I like her personally very much, but, you know, you have to realize this is, she's the only one who said this. Von Braun said to her that, yeah, there would be this kind of phony baloney threat of an alien invasion, and watch out for that.
Stay with us. Richard Dolan, our guest, final half hour. We'll take the rest of your calls. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, years ago, we used to make available audio tapes of the shows for $25 to $30 a piece. And lately, I've been getting a lot of emails from people who want copies of the program. Well, we don't provide tapes anymore, but you can now, because they've expanded it for Streamlink, which is $6.95 a month. That's it. You can download the past 90 days of the programs and as much as you want. So there's an affordable way for those of you who wanted copies of the shows. It's Streamlink. And how do you subscribe to that? Well, you just go on the coasttocoastam.com website, and that's how you do it. What comes first, Richard Dolan, government disclosure or some UFO craft comes down and just lands in the middle of a city and they can't avoid it then?
Yeah, either the latter. I don't think U.S. government is going to initiate this, or some other country could force the hand. It's a big world out there, and America is certainly the dominant power, but hey, you know, there's China, there's India, there are other places in this world. France, you know, had the famous Cometa report just a few years ago, in which it was a very professionally, scientifically done report, in which they basically stated that the ET visitation was the most likely hypothesis of UFOs. So there are many opportunities around this world for someone to trump the U.S. government on this matter, and I think if there's going to be a disclosure, I do not expect it happening at the initiative of the United States government.
All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jared, calling from West Virginia.
Hi, Jared. Good to have you with us.
I think that if the hysteria would cause a lot of panic if disclosure was happening, and especially if the U.S. government initiated it, and also think that a lot of the reports go without being told because of fear of ridicule from the community and also government agencies coming.
Yeah, no question about the ridicule factor. That's so huge. That's one of the biggest reasons why the media, most media people will not take these stories, and why a lot of government people, in particular, a lot of people that I've met in Washington, who, yes, they know about this, and they're not going to be shouting it from the rooftops anytime soon.
Also think subconscious, sometimes people see things, they just chalk up to lights in the sky where they don't want to believe.
Oh, absolutely. I have an old friend of mine, an old professor. I love this man. He's one of my mentors, and I visited him and his wife after my book came out. And, you know, he wasn't really into the whole UFO topic, but it turned out his wife was. And it also turned out that the two of them had seen a UFO out in Oregon many, many years before.
And Never thought about it.
I was so tickled because I'm listening to this married couple talk about it. And she said, well, don't you remember that? And wasn't that the weirdest thing? And he was embarrassed. He didn't want to admit to me that he had seen a UFO. So like, and he's a brilliant man. So like a lot of people, I think you're absolutely right, Jared. They will watch it and they will just kind of put it out of their mind. As far as hysteria, I'm not convinced that the hysteria is going to be a completely paralyzing thing. I mean, look, there are lots of people in this world who've got jobs. You have a job, I assume.
Yes.
People have things that they have to do. The disclosure can come out, and what are you going to do? To pull a hair out of your head for a couple of hours, and then what? You're going to kill yourself? I mean, most people are probably not going to do that.
It will be associated at the end of days when disclosure is leaked.
Well,
and I think
we are at, in my opinion, we are at the end of a road here.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
And that road, you can look at it in a lot of different ways. I like to look at it in terms of our global infrastructure. And, you know, listen, I mentioned this to George earlier in the show. We are in a serious possible crisis coming up of a global petroleum lack of supply to meet the demand. And when that happens, George was talking about people speculating on $80 a barrel oil. I'll tell you, it can get higher than that. And if it does, a lot more than people's SUVs are going to go hungry. People will go hungry because you can't feed 6+ billion people in the world without oil. And so there's only one thing to do, and that's die. And so we are in a serious bind in terms of the viability of this civilization right now. And so one thing I look at regarding the UFO problem is that one thing it represents is technology. And when you start looking at these objects, you ask yourself, what makes them go? What is their source of energy? This is a critically important question. Now, look, everyone has their take on what is going to be happening down the road, but I would caution all of us to remember that, in my own view anyway, I would say, the future is not an object of knowledge. We can guess, we can speculate, but let's not say that we know exactly what's going to happen, because that is not our gift.
Okay, next up, let's go to our west of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. That's not going to work. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going? This is good. Wayne from San Antonio.
Oh, Wayne, welcome.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to say Michael Bain's best work was The Abyss. And second of all, my question for Richard is, First of all, I'd put my watch and warrant on the fact that the U.S. government or whoever from the U.S. has contact with extraterrestrials or UFOs, and that I'd like to say that we're sharing some kind of technology with them and they're giving us something. So let's say that they have given us technology, and even more so that they have given us weapon technology or technology that could be used as a weapon. Do you think that if there was a major crisis with another world power and the only way to solve the problem was to use this extraterrestrial technology, do you think the government would just stop all this conspiracy and use it, or do you think that they would just let the crisis happen and keep up the facade?
That's an awesome question, and I have asked myself many, many times, you know, to what extent has this technology ever been used in warfare? Let me just say this. I met with a gentleman who fought in the first Gulf War. This is back in 91, all right? He was in Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And what he said to me was that during Desert Shield, before the actual war broke out, he and his unit were out in the Iraqi desert. They were surrounded by nothing but sand for, you know, lots, many, many hundreds of miles. And the guy said to me that a senior commander, a senior commander, though, came up to them and said, listen, in this area, if you start seeing objects that are, you know, shiny objects flying around in the sky, don't shoot at them, okay? And the guy said, sure enough, within the next day or two, we saw these objects, and they were in our area. And they were zipping around doing all kinds of things. And I said, well, what were you guys talking about? You're saying this UFOs? He says, yes, that's absolutely what I'm telling you. And he said, the thing was, had we even tried to shoot them down, it would have been impossible. They were way, way beyond that. You know, one has to wonder, was this a military...
Somebody's calling you.
Someone is.
I can tell.
I'm amazed, actually. It's 4:49 a.m. my time here. You know, was this a military operation or not, and have we used such things already? And then, of course, there's the whole question of maintaining secrecy and the value of that.
Yeah.
I talked to one guy who said, hey, listen, you know, we got those triangles, and you know what we're doing? We're going off-world with them. Mm-hmm. I said, off-world? What do you mean? He said, well, yeah, you know, we're going to the moon and we're going to Mars. I said, say what? I can't confirm this. I have no idea. You got people can talk big game, and maybe they're right, maybe they're not, but these craft of ours, if we've got them, could be used for more than simply terrestrial matters, I would imagine.
Yeah, but with so much of the news coverage going on in global events now and wars and stuff, let's say someone from CNN catches sight of one of these aircrafts or one of these weapons that we're using, what do you think the government would say about it? Would they close it off as something that they did or something that they're responsible for?
CNN wouldn't be my example because I think that they're complete lackeys of the national security apparatus, and I think all these major organizations are. I really believe this. I'm not just talking in hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, there could be another... media that scoops them and puts it on tape.
Right.
Hey, listen, I don't know. I have to tell you, I don't know how it would play out.
All right.
Would the U.S. government be forced into it? Maybe. Maybe not.
Thanks for your call.
Stonewall. I mean, they do that a lot already. There's already a tremendous amount of footage that is out there that has not... I mean, look, there are the Mexico sightings of a little more than 10 years ago. You have all these people out in Mexico with camcorders videotaping amazing things. And what happened to that? You have the Illinois sighting of 2000. You've got a bunch of police officers, absolute stand-up guys, and no one disputes them, and the best the media can do is say, well, maybe it's a secret project, and they leave it go. No one follows up. Where is the U.S. media in all of this? They're asleep at the wheel, and they're obviously working for higher authorities than just their media bosses.
Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast, you're on with us. Hi there.
How are you doing this evening?
Well, thank you. And where are you calling from?
Toronto, Canada. Okay, listening to you on Mojo Radio.
Yes, you
are. You're a neighbor of mine, man.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Across from the shuttle there. I believe it was Joseph who phoned earlier, kind of hit on the topic that I was... going to relate. I always have had the premise that aliens aren't really aliens at all. They're fallen. from the fall with Satan, the third of the angels. They've been here all the time. But you sit in your discussion now, how come there isn't any disclosure? Why isn't this being talked about? I just reflect back to C.S. Lewis and the Screwtape letters. I don't think it's time for them to be disclosed. That time might be approaching swiftly, and New World Order might have something to do with the introduction at some time in the near future, but I don't think disclosure as a whole, as being aliens, would end up being the topic that would be discussed at a news conference. It would be more along, here are fallen angels. That's just my premise. That's just the way I thought about it. And I've heard certain individuals starting to talk more along this line, or suggesting that they're maybe even demonic in some sense. But I kind of like the fallen aspect of it, because biblically, and as you've mentioned before, other cultures as well, they have writings talking about things that are flying around. When you're talking about some of the older cultures there that predate the flood, well, we had fish people in the sky. And where did those people go when the water disappeared in the sky?
All right, listen, you're getting into an area that I mean, look, I'm not buying the whole scenario. I mean, I'm going to be perfectly candid with you. You know, one can argue biblically all kinds of things, and guess what? Biblical scholars are going to disagree about these things too. What I would say, though, regarding disclosure, I'm amazed. I hear so many people, not just on this show, but I encounter people who just don't believe that we, you know, should be open about this. And I think, hey, you know, remember there is this thing called a free society, guys. And have we completely lost our nerve as a people that we don't believe in ourselves to govern ourselves any longer? This is what freedom is supposed to be about, everyone. Let's remember this. Okay, a free society is based on the concept of self-governance. And if you're not governing yourself, then you're not in a free society. All right? I believe that we have the ability to establish a measure of self-governance again, but you can't do it without knowledge of the reality of what's going on here. And I'm not going to simply submit to a complete loss of nerve by this entire seemingly society and civilization. There are a lot of other people, though, who believe in themselves, and they believe in their ability to govern themselves, and this is what I believe in. This is a political issue. This is beyond all kinds. It includes a lot of things, but it includes politics, and it includes self-determination. It's about freedom, guys. It's about freedom.
How do you see this all ending? Or is it?
I have a lot of pessimism regarding many things about our society, but I retain hope. I really do, George. I retain hope in our ability to deal with truth in an open and honest manner. I believe in our ability to cleanse the filth of lies from our society, and I believe in our ability to rejuvenate our civilization into something that actually, you know, will be beneficial. And I believe in a better world. I think that we're walking a real tightrope, and we can easily fall off that tightrope, and a lot of bad things can happen. But I don't think that we are necessarily living in the end times. I think we're living in the end of these times. I think we're living in the end of these times, and that for better or for ill, big, big changes are going to be happening. And we want to make sure that they're good, not bad.
Yeah, you may be right about that. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
This is Jeff. I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jeff.
And I just wanted to make a point. When I was in the Navy back in the 1970s, I was on a nuclear submarine. And we would go out into the area out there by Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and we would do sound trials. It's real deep water out there. And we would get sonar blips that would with contacts that would go through the water out there, tremendous speed. And then it would go from sonar to a radar blip. So they were going up out of the water.
Yeah,
and
that's fascinating.
At one point, we surfaced one morning, and there was these green, what they were calling green glows, that our commander was talking about. And we were told, you know, that was something that we should completely forget.
You know, wow. When were you doing this, approximately?
About 1976.
There was an account from a Soviet submarine commander from around that time, and he described almost the same type of things. He said, you know, we would see these things, and we would detect these things in the water that were moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
There were nothing that we could do. And for a while, some people wondered, was it American? And the guy said, listen, there was no way, nothing can go that fast. I don't care what the Americans had, nothing. And he was as convinced as anyone else that these were not of us.
Well, it wasn't only that, but I don't buy this bit of this sub that was, it was a Los Angeles class sub.
That hit the mound?
Exactly. Yeah,
40 miles an hour, it hit something.
That just doesn't, you know.
You're talking about the Kursk, the Russian sub?
No, U.S.
No, it was ours.
Oh, yeah.
And I had people that I know that said when that thing was, it got back on its own power, but that it was completely tore up when it got back. And that just doesn't happen. I mean, the sonar and the radar on those things are so sophisticated that it just doesn't happen.
That's fascinating. The green glow you mentioned, incidentally, that your commander talked about and said ignore those, that also was described by Ivan Sanderson in Invisible Residence. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Sanderson described these things occurring in the Indian Ocean as well.
Well, they happen right off of the coast of Fort Lauderdale here also.
Fascinating.
When we're out fishing, you can every once in a while you'll see, you know, at night you see the green, you can see a green glow.
Do they have a shape to them? Are they like circular or in lines or what?
It's more of like a, it's kind of like a circular, but they're deep, and it's just, you can see this, it's an eerie green glow, and it moves pretty quick through the water.
Well, it sure does. Richard, we are running out of time. I want to thank you. The book again, UFOs, The National Security State. I do hope one day we get full disclosure, Mr. Dolan.
It would be an interesting event to live through, George. That's no question about that.
We'll be back tomorrow with some more provocative talk radio right here on Coast to Coast. Thank you so much, Richard Dolan. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.